This episode is brought to you by Google. Google's two-step verification was built to secure your account and help prevent cyber attacks, even if your password is compromised. That's why Google has made it easy to sign into your account with this additional layer of protection. Just one tap and you're in. Learn more at safety.google.
Suddenly, he got up and started ambushing something, which I couldn't see initially. But I knew because of his body language, of experience, that he is ambushing something. Then immediately this fight started. I mean, it was such a mesmerizing experience. I would like to say this was first time in the country or anywhere in the world where somebody got a very clear video of a tiger and a sloth bear confrontation. And that video was very special because it was a mother sloth bear protecting her cub from the tiger.
Hi, I'm Jan Renner, founder of Roaring Earth.
And I'm science reporter Kate Morgan.
In each episode of the Roaring Earth podcast, our contributing reporters explore mysteries of the animal world, delving into the science behind amazing wildlife interactions captured on video by people like you.
You just heard Akshay Kumar, chief naturalist at the Bamboo Safari Lodge in the Tadaba Andhari Tiger Reserve, describe a video he sent in, captured in the Indian jungle where tigers and sloth bears live together, but not always in harmony.
In the video, which mesmerized millions on the Roaring Earth platforms, a sloth bear and a tiger are locked in battle. Every time you think the bear is done for, shockingly, it gets back up, ready for more. Our audience had tons of questions, so we asked Kate to find out more about this seemingly invincible and fearless bear and its relationship to a top predator.
Maybe you've never heard of a sloth bear. And you wouldn't be alone. But sloth bears are spread across the Indian subcontinent, surprisingly in a lot of the same places you'll find Bengal tigers. When they cross paths, it often turns bloody. The Jungle Book, this is not.
In India we call him as Bhalu. The Bhalu in the Jungle Book is a sloth bear.
It turns out, the fact that they battle tigers isn't even the most interesting thing about the sloth bear. They also take naps with leopards, have an inaccurate name, and have a heartbreaking history of abuse at the hands of humans. Speaking of people, sloth bears kill an alarming number of humans every year, making them one of the most dangerous animals on the planet. And in scientific terms, we are only just beginning to understand them. That's where folks like Thomas Sharp come in. He's the director of conservation and research at Wildlife SOS.
We do research so that we can understand the animals better in the wild and help to find ways to conserve them.
That includes tracking endangered elephants, reintroducing Indian star tortoises to the wild, and working to protect leopards. But we're here to talk about the sloth bear. Of the 8 bear species in the world, the sloth bear is the least understood.
Most people in the West are, of course, familiar with grizzly bears, American black bears, and polar bears. But really, when you think of the Indian bear, it's really the sloth bear. It is a very unusual bear. They are a black bear, roughly the size of an American black bear, but they're very different looking. They're a very fuzzy bear. They have very long claws, and they have a white kind of crescent on their chest. And that's how you can distinguish this bear.
In fact, except for a few attributes, they don't look like sloths at all. And while sloths are known for their, well, sloth, these bears aren't slow.
They're not at all sloth-like. It's a bear. Everything about them is unsloth-like except the fact that they have these long claws and these specialized teeth.
But those claws and teeth help the unsloth-like sloth bear reach its prey. Sloth bears eat ants and termites, using their long claws to dig into the side of a termite mound and their specialized teeth to suck out the bugs like a vacuum. Occasionally, if they're rooting around in an old log, they'll eat a small rodent or something, and they've been known to eat carrion. But generally, these guys are vegetarians. They've also got some very interesting housing habits.
This is a bear that does not hibernate, which isn't surprising because they're in the tropics. However, they do make use of two types of dens. They have resting dens and maternal dens.
Resting dens are where adult bears go to nap during the day. Maternal dens, dug out by pregnant females, are where they hole up to give birth and then largely stay inside with their young for a few months. Once the cubs are about 10 weeks old, they're ready to emerge from the den with their mother's help.
When they start bringing the cubs out with them, another thing that soft bears do is they'll carry their cubs on their back.
This adorable behavior is really unusual for bears, but it has been seen in other species. And I don't mean sloths.
Giant anteaters, for one.
If we're going with another animal's name, maybe we should have named it the anteater bear.
One of my mentors thought they could be called the honey bear. Of course, all bears like honey, but they're technically in the genus Ursus, but they've also been listed as Molursus, which actually means honey bear.
But that still doesn't convey their ferociousness in the face of tigers. Okay, so on the list of super weird things about the sloth bear, their name is inaccurate, they carry their babies on their back, they make two types of dens, but that's not all. Apparently, they also share their dens with other animals, like porcupines.
Sloth bears will share caves with porcupines, for example. We've even documented once where there was a cave which somewhat split, and we had a leopard at least temporarily living in one side of the cave and the sloth bear on the other side, which kind of blew our minds.
So these guys will hang with porcupines, take a nap with a leopard, but tigers are a very different story.
Well, clearly, as we all know, tigers being one of the top predators, if not the top terrestrial predator, they take basically whatever they want in the wild. I mean, there's no animal except for perhaps the elephant that is gonna mess with a tiger. And most animals tend to run from tigers. Soft bears have taken a different approach.
There are lots of reasons a bear and a tiger might have a run-in. Tigers have been known to hunt sloth bear cubs, and a tiger that's hungry enough might go after an adult bear. Plus, the two share an ecosystem. Nearly everywhere there are tigers, you'll find sloth bears. So the occasional brawl is inevitable.
So imagine you're a bear and you're evolving to live with this top predatory species. What do you do? Well, certainly if you're a good tree climber, climbing trees would be a good way to escape. Well, sloth bears, although they climb, they don't climb to escape from predators. Okay, so that's out. Certainly a sloth bear is not gonna outrun a tiger. So that's out.
So what do? You freak out.
A sloth bear has evolved to basically have an extreme reaction to a threat. Now, in an all-out fight, there's really no question. A tiger's gonna win that fight probably 10 out of 10 times. They're bigger, they're more built to kill than a sloth bear. So a sloth bear basically has evolved to make itself a hard target.
The sloth bear's defense mechanism is to go absolutely nuts. They make crazy, snarly barking sounds while they charge the tiger. When they're knocked down, they get back up, teeth bared and claws flying. The idea is that any tiger in its right mind will eventually decide, this is so not worth it.
They'll go back and forth at it, and big fights ensue. This is a very tough animal. Sloth bears are definitely an animal to be reckoned with. They're not pushovers. They're tough on the order of, say, a honey badger or even American badger. These are tough animals.
The honey badger bear.
Now, that's a good name. At least it's better than as far as we've gotten so far.
We're getting progress. We're making progress here.
Yeah, they are not an animal to be trifled with. This bear, in particular, can be quite defensively aggressive.
Sometimes, of course, the bears lose. Tigers have been seen preying on cubs and adult bears alike. But often, like in the video Akshay Kumar sent in, the bear's never-give-up strategy exhausts the tiger, which skulks off into the jungle, humbled at the paws of the sloth bear. And it's not always a tiger on the business end of those bear claws. The sloth bear has been called the world's deadliest bear. Every year, they are responsible for more human deaths and maulings than any other bear.
Just to be clear, this is not a predatorial attack.
Right. But, you know, I mean, you're not. It's not like the sloth bear wants to eat you. You are not a termite.
Exactly. These bears do not hunt to kill people. There are probably more bear encounters in India because there are so many people and so many ways for the bears to encounter people that certainly heightens the number of bear attacks.
Experts like Thomas hypothesize that the sloth bear also has kind of a hair trigger, since, as we learned, that's how it evolved to defend itself against tigers.
You might have a bear that's laying in an area minding its business and, you know, cases where people have just yelled to someone, hey, there's a bear, and that's enough to trigger the bear to just attack them defensively.
So don't do that.
Certainly, the vast majority of people live through the attack, but people are killed every year. A lot of people are maimed badly, but also a lot of people are attacked but have, you know, minimal injuries.
One study documented 687 maulings and 48 human deaths during a five-year period.
And that's quite a bit. And keep in mind, that's just in one Indian state, and sloth bears occur in 20 of the 29 states in India. That can be a problem for conservation. As you can imagine, people who live in sloth bear country are not very fond of the sloth bear necessarily, especially if they've had family members or friends mauled by them. So they're looked at more as almost a pest species.
Wow. So these guys need a new name, a new reputation. They need yes. These guys need like a whole PR firm.
Yeah. And at Wildlife SOS, we're kind of trying to do that. Actually, I'd say we're probably their PR firm.
That's great. I bet you didn't know that you were in publicity.
Having studied sloth bears now for over 10 years, it's sometimes surprising, especially coming from the West, that a bear has largely been ignored in terms of scientific studies.
In the West, there's a lot of research focused on bears. But in India, much more attention and research funding is given to tigers and elephants and rhinos.
Larger, maybe to some people, more charismatic megafauna. I think sloth bears are beautiful, but, you know, to a lot of people, I mean, there's no arguing, you know, having seen over 30 tigers in the wild myself, there's nothing like a tiger. They're magnificent.
I know. I get that tigers are magnificent. I don't disagree, but I just feel like my heart belongs to the like fuzzy Muppet bug eating baby carrying bear.
Well, you're not going to get an argument from me. I mean, I just think sloth bears they're just incredible animals.
The more people are convinced of that fact, the easier it'll be to protect them. Thanks to habitat encroachment and stigma, the sloth bear population is in jeopardy. They're listed as vulnerable on the red list maintained by the International Union for Conservation of Nature.
Yeah, India has a good wildlife ethic for sure. They have probably the strongest wildlife laws in the world. At the same time, you know, not all those laws are necessarily enforced all the time. When I started working with bears in India, I started working with the co-founders of Wildlife SOS, Kartik Satyanarayan and Geeta Seshamani. At that stage, these bears were being danced in the streets.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, they were being danced in the streets of India for money.
Maybe you think that sounds like a fun cultural tradition, but you'd be very wrong. The story of the dancing sloth bears is dark and twisted, and I'll tell it when we come back.
Before the break, conservation biologist Thomas Sharp introduced us to the sloth bear. This unusual and fascinating creature can hold its own against tigers, as we saw in the astonishing clip, and occasionally turn its claws on people. But as you're about to learn, this is a bear with a good reason to hold a grudge against humanity. Back to Kate's report.
Today, Wildlife SOS, the organization Thomas Sharp works for, operates two sloth bear rescue facilities, one in Agra, in the north of India near the Taj Mahal, and the other in Bangalore, in south central India. The bears there have been through too much abuse at the hands of people to be returned to the wild. Instead, they'll spend the rest of their lives in the care of Wildlife SOS and its founder.
My name is Karthik Satyanarayan. I am the co-founder and CEO of Wildlife SOS. Wildlife SOS is a non-profit conservation organization that I established in 1995 with a co-founder called Geeta Seshamani. Our work started with sloth bears, because what shocked us into creating this organization and making sure that we had the ability to function efficiently to help put an end to the illegal trafficking of sloth bear cubs was a site that Geeta and I saw where sloth bears were being used for performances on the streets.
For centuries, an ethnic group called the Kalender made their living by traveling the land entertaining royalty with their, quote, dancing bears.
And eventually, you know, the whole act of entertainment for royalty using bears and monkeys kind of degraded into a cheap roadside trick for tourists to entertain them. As time went on, as kingdoms fell and modernization took over, what started off as something which was ancient, unfortunately in 1995 was still continuing to be followed. And what was worrying for us was that every single bear across the streets in India, over 1,200 of them, were all harvested from the wild. They were all being taken from the forests.
Mother sloth bears were being killed and their cubs kidnapped. And as Karthik and Geeta discovered, that was only the start of their mistreatment.
Geeta and I started an investigation, which took us about 30 months. And then in 1997, we were able to produce a report and show the government with evidence that this was going on right under all our noses and action needed to be taken. So what we found out was quite horrifying.
Karthik and Geeta went undercover, posing as members of a buying party for a circus. What they witnessed was gruesome. A note to our listeners, this next part may be hard to hear.
Once a baby bear is purchased by a member of the Kalender community from a poacher or a trafficker from an underground market, then what that baby bear goes through is pure hell, because they stuff it into a bag and then feed it opium so it's drugged. So you could be sitting next to somebody with a big bag with three or four bear cubs in it, or a basket with several bear cubs in it, and you wouldn't know because they'd all be drugged. And once they got them out at the destination, and they would then be sold to other customers, you know, who would train them for bear dancing. And once they're sold, each bear cub would then be held down by about four or five men. And, you know, of course, a baby bear, you can imagine, would squeal away when it's held down that way. And then they would use a metal rod and smash out all the teeth that it had, because baby bears are baby bears, but they're bears at the end of the day and wild animals, so they can bite. And so the way they would disable that would be to smash all those teeth.
For Karthik, bearing witness was the most important thing he could do to save the bears. I'll spare you the other details about the sights, sounds, and smells he remembers. But here's how it ends. I promise, it's almost over.
And so, you know, you'd have this little baby bear bleeding away, and then they'd take a red-hot iron poker and put a hole through the muzzle. It's horrifying. And then a thick, coarse rope is thrust through that hole and threaded through the nostril, and then it comes out at the other end.
What's left is a small, motherless bear hurting and scared, with a coarse rope through its nose.
These are the two training tools, pain and fear, to train the bear to perform. And then from that day onwards, that baby bear will have its freedom limited to about 4 feet. That's the length of the rope. And it will live its entire life at the end of this 4 feet long rope from that moment onwards. It will learn to jump up and down in pain as the rope is yanked, because it's going to go through a delicate portion of its face, over its eyes, and then it's onto its muzzle. That pain will make the animal hop up and down, and it'll be viewed as dancing by ignorant tourists. So that was what was going on, and we had to do something about it.
Yeah, I'll say, listen, Kartik, I gotta tell you, I'm a science journalist and I have a pretty strong stomach, but I can't, I mean, I feel sick hearing you describe it. I'm horrified. I'm absolutely horrified.
To watch this, gritting my teeth and not showing emotion, not allowing any emotion to show on my face. And that's how we managed to get valuable intelligence that led us to being able to gather the evidence required to produce a report and convince the government of India that this continued and something needed to be done.
Kartik and his team at Wildlife SOS understood that this problem required diplomacy rather than force. With assistance from the Indian government, they slowly built relationships with the impoverished Kalender community. Kartik spent years earning their trust, building financial assistance programs, and helping them find jobs outside the dancing bear trade.
The great thing with the community was that they were street smart and had a lot of entrepreneurial skills, so we could harness that. And so we started talking to them about other ways of finding a livelihood. Finally, working in collaboration with the Forest Department and the government, we were able to get these people agree to voluntarily hand over their bears to the Forest Department. And if they did that and signed an agreement that they would not go back to exploiting wild animals again, then they would receive support from us to find an alternative way of livelihood.
But those surrendered bears needed somewhere to go. In 1998, the Indian government approved funding for Wildlife SOS's rescue facility.
By 1999, we had finalized a location close to Agra because it was closest to the problem area.
Was that because that's where the tourists were, because of the Taj Mahal?
That's correct. The Taj Mahal, you know, invites millions of tourists each year. Unfortunately, you couldn't go to the Taj Mahal from Delhi, which is the nearest airport, without seeing a dancing bear back in the day, in 1995.
Finally, in 2002, the world's largest sloth bear rescue center, a 165-acre facility, opened near Agra. In addition to caring for the bears there and at the second rescue in Bangalore, Wildlife SOS invites the public to come see and learn about the creatures. Kartik believes that education and conservation are one and the same.
Wildlife SOS is doing everything we can to make sure that people understand that bears are misunderstood, and we need to try and, you know, get rid of that ignorance by educating people about sloth bear behavior, sloth bear ecology, and why we need this species, and how we can easily avoid negative interactions. We want to save human lives as well as bears.
But I'm wondering if you have a favorite sloth bear fact.
I mean, sloth bears are my favorite, so anything about them is incredible. I find everything to do with sloth bears just amazing and fascinating. I mean, you would be surprised to see, and I never cease to be amazed, by this clumsy, shaggy bear that's waddling across the forest, looks like it'll slip and fall in the smallest, you know, ditch, but can effortlessly climb with those big clumsy claws, you know, huge trees, narrow, rock faces, which are quite sheer drops. It's incredible. It's like they've got glue or something on their feet. I don't know how they manage it, And of course, they make me laugh when they can't be bothered to making the effort of climbing down. They just let themselves slide down, you know, like a pole dancer. It's hilarious. I mean,
I've never heard anyone compare a bear to a pole dancer before.
Well, there you go. Something new, right?
Kartik doesn't think we should rename them the pole dancing bear, though I lobbied for it, believe me. But if anyone should get to rename them, it's Kartik. So I asked him what it ought to be.
You know, I've never really thought about that, but you know, it's almost funny that you call a bear that's not slothy a sloth bear. So I don't know, I'll have to think about it. I would call it maybe like, you know, the bullet bear, perhaps, because they can be so fast when you least expect it. But they're also protective, so I don't know.
That is so badass, the bullet bear.
Quick draw bear, you know, something like that.
Oh man, it would be everyone's favorite bear, so fast.
Yeah, that's what I want to make it.
Yeah, can you imagine, oh my God, how obsessed little kids would be? Like
oh, yes.
What's your favorite animal? Oh, I like the bullet bear. Oh man, it's a winner. It's absolutely a winner.
The bears of India don't dance anymore, and that's a very good thing. But the work of Wildlife SOS is far from over.
We still have to uncover a lot of secrets of the bear. I mean, it's extensive work that's needed. So it's endless. You know, 5 years down the line when we speak, I think we'll still have things that we need to learn about the sloth bear, about the bullet bear now.
I don't know where we send this petition to rename the sloth bear, but I'd really like to get the ball rolling on that.
When we saw the video, we knew it had to be a pretty unique animal. But who knew there was so much to discover about the tiger-fighting sloth bear?
I think you mean the giant anteater honey badger pole-dancing bullet bear.
Thanks for listening to the Roaring Earth podcast. If you liked our show, please follow us on your favorite podcast app and share with your friends. Comments and reviews are always greatly appreciated. For more info on today's episode, including videos and research, visit roaringearth.com. On our next episode, we explore the dramatic impact of a super snake invasion in Florida. Until then, send us your amazing wildlife videos so we can delve deep into the story behind them. The Roaring Earth podcast was written and produced by Kate Morgan and Suzanne Bard. Sound engineering and original music was provided by Joe Biseri. Jan Renner and Glenn Hoffman are the executive producers. Special thanks to Akshay Kumar, Thomas Sharp, and Kartik Satyanarayan and his amazing team at Wildlife SOS for their contributions. I'm Jan Renner for Roaring Earth.